Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour 2 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Coming up, we're going to talk to a player who's perfect so far this season. The Cowboys kicker, Brandon Aubrey, will join us coming up in a moment. I believe a 28-year-old rookie, Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst, former head of NFL officials, will join us. The controversy has died down a little bit with the Chiefs, with the loss to the Buffalo Bills, the Chiefs, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes walking back some of their comments in the moment after that loss. Tom Bertucci, MLB Network, and had a deep dive on the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani and the fact that Ohtani has 9 teammates who will make more than he does this year since he's only going to make $2 million. Now, down the road, in retirement, he's going to make a whole lot more money than his teammates there. But we'll talk to Bertucci about how the Dodgers pulled this off. By the way, Shohei Ohtani and his agent did offer this sort of same structure with this, that any team he was going to, that this is what he wanted to do because he wanted to make sure his team had some financial fluidity to be able to go out, make sure that the farm system is well stocked, that their team is going to be great or potentially great for a decade. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. And let's see, special gift set, danpatrick.com. Moonshine 4-pack, your chance to get some of the flavors you may have missed out. Cinnamon apple, salted caramel, pumpkin spice, and the newest flavor, peppermint bark. All of that available at danpatrick.com. Before we get to Mr. Perfect, Seton, would you give us the poll question for hour 2?
Hour 2, we're putting up there, the New York Giants should, ..
Mm-hmm.
Move forward with Tommy DeVito, play Daniel Jones one more year with DeVito on the bench, or find a new quarterback altogether.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess recency bias, and you're going to stay with Tommy DeVito.
You think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Giants beat the Packers 24-22, and the Titans, surprise, surprise, came back to beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins now 9-4. And you were talking about maybe having, number one seed here. Now the Ravens have a full game advantage there. All right. He's Brandon Aubrey, Cowboys kicker, former pro soccer player, played in the USFL, went to Notre Dame, won a national championship there. He joins us on the program. How did this happen? How do you explain this?
Yeah, just a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring it out as you go. And, obviously, the soccer career didn't end the way I wanted it to, and just figured out it was time to pivot, went with what I went to school for, got my degree in computer science, worked as a software engineer for a couple of years, and realized at that time that, you know, that wasn't quite for me and wanted to go back into sports. Figured soccer probably wasn't it for me. So just went down the football path, and 3 or 4 years later, here I am.
Okay, but you pivot to kick professionally. I mean, that's a – does somebody tell you, hey, you know what, if I were you, maybe you try being a place kicker?
Yeah, so the story is my wife, actually, we were just sitting there watching football like we did every Sunday, and she mentioned to me in passing, hey, I think you could do that. And, you know, obviously – having been a professional athlete, I thought she was crazy. I knew how much work it took to become a professional soccer player and take just as amount of hard work to become a professional anything. So at that time, just kind of got a ball and went to the field and tried to see if I could do it. And it looked like I had a little bit of talent for it. So just found a local coach in the area and just started grinding at it.
But when you went to Notre Dame, did you think about kicking for the football team?
No, not once. Never crossed my mind.
When did you realize you could kick professionally?
That's tough to say. When I went out to the field for the first time, obviously off of sticks and you're out on the field on your own, no rush, nothing like that. I had some success just messing around on the field, and I figured, you know, I've got nothing to lose. Can spare some of my free time to work at it while I don't have any kids, don't have any real commitments. So just spent a lot of time grinding there and found a coach who works with a lot of high school kids that are trying to make it to D1. And he was honest with me, mentioned that he thinks I have the talent, but my story's a long shot. It's going to be a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of energy. And if I was willing to put it in, he'd put it in with me and we'd see where we could get with it.
What did it feel like, that first kick you made?
It was unreal. Going back to the USFL would be my first kick in a live setting. Just a really surreal moment for me. It was an extra point in the opening game of the USFL. So it was an awesome opportunity, grateful to have it, and made me think, you know, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, but okay, you're kicking for the Cowboys. You know, I'm going to guess that was your favorite team growing up. All of a sudden, you're out there kicking. You're got the star on your helmet. I mean, the whole thing here. What's that like when you walk on the field and you get ready to kick for the first time?
Yeah, I took a moment after warm-ups, because as a specialist, you go out there and you warm up just about an hour before everyone else does. So after I was done warming up, took that moment to look around the stadium. It was MetLife for Sunday Night Football, and just take it all in, try and appreciate where I'm at. And honestly, it really still feels like a dream. Doesn't feel like reality, just trying to take it day by day and really just go out there and do my job.
Have you made a tackle yet in the NFL?
No, not yet.
Do you plan on making a tackle in the NFL?
Not if I can help it.
Do you practice? Have you tackled anybody before?
Yeah, so in the USFL, we kicked off from the 20-yard line.
Okay.
And that, a lot of opportunities to make tackles. I think I made two or three in the second season.
What's the difference in kicking a soccer ball and a football?
There's not a lot of difference physically. Obviously, the shape of the ball is different, but the form is very similar. There's a million different ways you can kick a soccer ball, so you never really master one like you truly do with football. Because I'm going out there and hitting the ball the same way every time. So there's just a little more emphasis on mastering that one thing versus kind of being jack of all trades, hitting the ball a million different ways.
What's the longest field goal you've hit in practice?
Yeah, in practice, 68, 69, around there.
How many tickets do you have to get for the family?
Varies week to week. Six is the average, I'd say, but any week it spikes way up. So this week I had all of my dad's family in town, and it was around 15 tickets.
He's Brandon Aubrey, the Cowboys kicker, and most consecutive field goals to start a career, 30. And the first kicker with multiple 59 or longer field goals in a game. seems to be, you know, this pretty easy for you.
No, I wouldn't say that. Just been given opportunity with a coaching staff that believes in me. Obviously, to kick a 60-yard field goal in the first quarter isn't something that happens often. And just to be given the opportunity to do that speaks volumes of the coaching staff's trust in me, and that inspires confidence. So just going out there and being free, knowing that the coaching staff believes in me and has my back, allows me to perform free and not worry about the consequences of making a mistake.
What's your nickname?
Butter Aubrey.
Butter?
Yeah.
Who gave you that?
It would be Dak.
Okay. When did he find out your name? How long before he realized who you were?
I think he knew who I was in training camp. I had known him before camp. Actually, the kicking coach that I found in the area happened to be connected with him. He was his college roommate and teammate at the time, which kind of a small world on that front.
That's pretty cool. Better soccer player, Ronaldo or Messi?
I think Messi.
Your game, is it more like Messi's or was it more like Ronaldo?
Mine was more like Ronaldo. We can't all have the ability that Messi has on the ball. It's just kind of stuck to his foot like a ball on a string.
Can you explain Messi? His greatness?
He's truly one of a kind. He's a gem to watch. Thankful he's in the U.S., so the American population that is starting to attach itself to soccer can really appreciate just the level of talent he has and that we need to produce in our country if we want to compete on a world stage, which we're getting way, way closer to than we had when I was growing up, which is it's awesome to see.
Now, you got the Dolphins in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think if you leave Messi tickets... What do you think? Yeah, awesome. What do you think?
If he wants them, he can have them.
All right. All right. Could Messi or Ronaldo or Beckham, could they have done what you're doing?
Yeah, I think so. They are truly world-class athletes, the top of their game. I believe people like that, if you put any sort of challenge in front of them, they'll find a way to be the best in the world at it. So I think they could have done just about anything they put their minds to.
Great to talk to you, and continued success. What, your alma mater lost the soccer championship to Clemson last night? Is that right?
Yeah, that was a tough result. Those boys put in a lot of hard work, and I think they're starting to build a true powerhouse program, and they'll be back.
Well, that's the worst part of your year. That's not a bad year to have. Yeah. So happy holidays to you, and continued success. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Brandon Aubrey, the Cowboys kicker. He's 30 for 30.
It's nuts.
Yeah. He's perfect. Like, how many people can show up and go, yeah, I'm perfect. Yeah, Paul.
I didn't know the backstory about his wife saying, why don't you go out there and give it a shot while they're watching football on a Sunday. I'd heard that he tried it. I thought it was just a natural morphing. Maybe he did it. He had kicked in high school and he brought it back.
But that'd be cool. You go to Miami and all of a sudden you leave some tickets for Messi and see, you know, like Jerry Glanville used to leave tickets for Elvis when Elvis was not with us any longer, but he'd leave tickets. So Brandon, I'd leave tickets for Messi. Just say, hey, maybe come out and, you know, watch somebody who's perfect. Yeah, Paul.
This sets up for one of those Dennis Quaid type Disney sports movies. Quaid's too old.
No, Dennis Quaid can't do it.
I know, not Dennis Quaid, but like the 28-year-old rookie kicker, if the Cowboys, he wins the Super Bowl.
This has got Zac Efron.
All,
yeah, Zac Efron.
No doubt. All
over. Yes, Seton.
Dennis Quaid is the old school coach going, a soccer player? No way a soccer player stepping foot on my field. That's, you know, great. What I mean? Dennis Quaid could be that old ornery coach.
Well, there's a football field. You know who I would get? Play the old football coach. Shea and Irving.
Oh. Got the voice. Maybe Tommy Lee Jones could be in there as a... The team owner.
Yeah, maybe.
Not on my watch.
Yeah. Shea and Irving.
A soccer player? There's a football field.
He seemed pretty matter-of-fact about this. Like, I mean, this is crazy. You go play soccer at Notre Dame, and then you're like, I can't play soccer anymore. Now I'm going to go to the USFL. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I try it for the Cowboys. Sure, why not? Yes, yes, Marv.
And the fact that his wife was the one that said, you can do that, while most wives are looking at their husbands like, all right, relax, high school hero. Yeah. That was about 20 years ago. Just sit on the couch and relax with me.
Yeah, you're going to pull a groin here. Yes, Eaton.
It's crazy, too, that, I mean, he worked his whole life to become a soccer player, right? And then on a whim, became the kicker for the Cowboys and has probably made more money in his whole career kicking for the Cowboys than he did playing soccer.
And he's going to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and he worked his whole life to play soccer, and now he's just like, okay, I guess I'll try the NFL.
This one feels a little more amazing than the Tommy DeVito story. I'm just saying.
How dare you?
If Brandon Aubrey was named Tommy DeVito, and he was, kicking cutlets, and he kicking cutlets. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think this seat, I'm going to ask you, do you think this could have some trickle down if his story gets big and he becomes a Pro Bowler, an all pro, that more high school kids, soccer kids will try this because you don't need to make tackles to be a kicker. Occasionally you have to, but if you can make the field goals, they'll work around that tackling stuff.
I think it already is a
thing. Yeah, I would think.
I think soccer players already do that.
Do
that. Yeah. I mean, right, Pat McAfee was a soccer player and then he decided to start punting.
All right, some phone calls here. We'll talk to Dean Blandino, the Fox NFL rules analyst here. Nathan in Texas leads us off hour two. Hi, Nate.
Hey, what's up, Dan? I always get really nervous, so bear with me.
Okay.
I got a pie in the face bet. I want to start that off, and I also have a statement or a question, really. So my pie in the face bet, last year I lost to Fritzy that the Cowboys were going to make it to the Super Bowl, and the bet was if I lost, I take one pie. If he lost, he'd take two pies. So I ended up losing. I felt bad, so I was like, I'm going to do two pies. So I did two pies. I ended up sending that video in. I'm not sure if you guys got it or not. Tyler said he doesn't think so. It's actually really funny because a lot like Fritzy, I have no friends, and I had to do it by myself.
That's true, by the way.
I tried getting a girl that I like to do it with me, but she thought it was lame. So, typical wow. Dan Patrick fashion.
Wow.
So another, my question is, why does everyone defend the Eagles? As a Cowboys fan, we played the exact same teams as the Eagles and we blew them out while the Eagles had to scrape the wins. And it just feels that, everyone wants to defend the Eagles saying they're resilient. They're this, they're that. They find a way to win.
Well, wait, hold on, Nate. You're going to get a pie to the face right now if you were here in front of me. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl.
Whatever it is, I'll be happy with it.
They went to the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
the Cowboys haven't done anything.
I'm about to be 26. I know that.
Your entire life, they've never won anything for you.
And that's sad. But okay, does nobody remember the 2020 Steelers when they went 10-2 and it was a Fugazi team? It's the same thing with the Eagles last year. Who do they beat? And I will say this, Dan.
Well, they nearly beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, they were a call or two away. And Nate, I'm going to have to hang up on you. Here we go with the Cowboy fans. Yeah, you know what? If you can't complain about Cowboy coverage. All right? You get enough coverage. You get enough. Just flip around the dial. Somebody's saying something nice about the Cowboys. Thank you, Nate. Man.
Why doesn't anybody talk about the Cowboys as a hot take?
Hey, you guys never talk about the Cowboys. Yeah, we do. We do. We don't go out of our way to do it, but when it's warranted, we do. I think the Cowboys, if the Cowboys went to the title game, I would not be surprised at all. They're a really good team. By now, they should be. They should be an elite team. You can't sit there and go, well, people keep making excuses for the Eagles. They did get to the Super Bowl. Who they beat, I don't know, but they beat who was ever in front of them. But I can't say that for the Cowboys. So if the Cowboys get there, they go through the Eagles or they go through the Niners, good for them. Let's take a break. What did Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst, see during the Chiefs game? And what should the officials have done in the moment? We'll take a break. We're back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, the Titans rallied from 14 down in the final 2 minutes and 40 seconds to beat the Dolphins. The Titans are the first team in 23 years to rally from a deficit of 14 or more in the final 3 minutes to win a game in regulation. We make way for Dean Blandino, the Fox NFL rules analyst, former vice president of NFL officiating, joining us on the program. Good to see you again. Let me start at the line of scrimmage. In that moment with Kadarius Toney and the role that the official plays when he sees that Toney is offside.
So you see this throughout the game. And so line of scrimmage officials, receivers, there's that communication, a lot of it nonverbal. The receiver will look to the official. The official will make sure the receiver understands where the line of scrimmage is. And a lot of it is, I'm a receiver. I know I have to be off the line of scrimmage or on the line of scrimmage. So I look to the official. The official shows me with their leg, their foot, their front foot, here's the line of scrimmage, and you can line up accordingly. And so in a situation like that, you're going to have that nonverbal communication. But when you're lining up offside, and it's as blatant as it was and as obvious as it was, you know, early in the game, if it's close, marginal, you'll warn the player. But in a situation like that, when you're that offside, you're going to get the call, whether it's in the first quarter or the fourth quarter.
What if Toney looks to the official and asks for help in that moment?
Yeah, and the official should give that help to that player. And I've seen some video you know, online where there's one shot. I don't know where the camera came from, but it looks like Tony quickly looks to the sideline. That is so fast. There's no way that he could have gotten any acknowledgement from the official with just a quick cursory glance over there. Typically, you'll see that with the receivers that are closer to the sideline, and they'll look, and they may even adjust their position based on what the official, you know, what they're getting from the official. But the official will give that help if the help is, you know, is asked for.
Well, I mentioned this, that the official doesn't want to make that call. I mean, it's an incredible play. You don't want to be the story. And that's why, you know, Mahomes and Andy Reid were so upset that the officials, and, you know, they make mistakes and, you know, they're going to be fined for the comments that they made. But an official, I don't think, goes, man, I haven't thrown a flag in a while. I'd like to get a little airtime here.
No. And especially a line of scrimmage official, you're not even getting the airtime. You're giving the referee the airtime because you don't even get to make the announcement. But the thing is, a foul like that, that's a foul at the snap. The official throws the flag immediately once the ball is snapped. They have no idea that this is going to be an incredible play with Travis Kelce throwing the ball back to Tony. They just see what they see. They see a violation. They throw the flag. They officiate the rest of the play. And I think all of those factors just led to this being controversial. Because if that's just an incomplete pass, it's not this gigantic thing that we're all still talking about.
Was this a point of emphasis for officials this year?
It was. You know, when you look at offensive offside, that is not a call that had been made going into this season very often. From 2015 to 2022, all of those years, there was only 14 across the entire league. This year, with the Tony penalty, there's already been 13. And this, to me, comes from the tush push, the brotherly shove. That play, the officiating department has really put an emphasis on officiating the line of scrimmage more closely with players on and offside. And I think we've seen that. Now it's bled over to these other areas that are not tush push plays, but we're seeing, like you said, 13 in 1 year compared to the 8 previous years, there only being 14 total. It's clearly a point of emphasis.
Explain to me, and we saw this with the Chiefs opening night where their tackles seemed like they were back further. It's almost as if the NFL is trying to give them a little bit of a head start to help against these edge rushers who are clearly more athletic than them. Is that a point of emphasis to allow the tackles to be back a little bit more than maybe they should be? They're not on the line of scrimmage.
They're not. You watch the play with Tony. Look at the right tackle. Look at Taylor on that play. He's so far back, and they're both supposed to be on the line of scrimmage. So I think that has been less emphasized. It started, right? Remember Lions Chiefs opening night? We had the whole thing with Taylor not lining up on the line of scrimmage. So I think we are seeing less restrictive in that area. And like you said, that's a key thing. When you talk about the offensive line versus the defensive line is winning more often than not. Scoring is down. Passing yards are down. So you're going to give those tackles. I think the league is making that, you know, known to the officials. Don't be overly technical. Let the tackle have a little bit of that head start. But again, you've got that part of it, and now you're officiating the other part, being on the line for receivers and other players, the tush push play, more closely. And I think that's where teams sometimes struggle with the consistency.
We're talking to Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst, former vice president of NFL officiating. What's your biggest concern with officiating? I mean, let me tell you mine, and that is it has to do with gambling. So when there is a call, it's not just fan emotion. Now there's money at stake here. And we're headed towards something here. We are. And I worry about with these officials that they're trying to do a job that is almost impossible to be perfect. How big of a concern should that be?
I think it should be a very big concern. And you said it, they're trying to be perfect. And that's the standard for officiating. We're less accepting of a missed call as we are, you know, a drop pass or a missed block or a wrong call on fourth down going for it or not. And no one's perfect. They can never reach that standard. And you hit the nail on the head with gambling because 25 years ago, right, the NFL didn't have to worry about gambling, right? That's illegal. That's not part of now. It's legal. Now the NFL, you can't watch a game without seeing these gambling ads, the betting ads. We're playing the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. We've got a team in Las Vegas, which 20 years ago, I would have never even guessed that. So you absolutely have to worry about these things, and you have to give the officials better direction, make sure we can get the calls on the field correct, mitigate mistakes, and also use technology. I feel like we're using technology in some areas where it's probably not as important. We're moving the ball a yard here, maybe taking a couple of seconds off the clock in the third quarter. But let's get the big plays right. Let's mitigate those game-changing mistakes.
I also wonder, when you spoke to officials, it's almost like I can throw a flag and I can pick it up. Therefore, I can kind of protect myself. You're asking for the home office to give you some help in the moment with these calls. Are we going to get to the point where everything is reviewed? Like, getting the call right, that's paramount here.
It is paramount, but I think it's a balance. I don't think we can re-officiate every play. There's 153, 154 plays in the game. There's seven officials. All of them are making decisions before the play, during the play, and after the play. There's thousands of decisions that are being made, and the overwhelming majority are correct. But to re-officiate every play and replay, the game would have no flow, no momentum. So I think you've got to find that balance. There's four or five plays in a game that decide a game, and we have to be perfect on those four or five and manage the rest of the game, mitigate mistakes. And I think that's kind of that middle ground that the NFL has to find.
And I know people talk about full-time refs. I don't know. Well, tell me the difference. If you're part-time referee or you're a full-time referee, how does that change how you call a game, how accurate you are? How much better are you?
I don't know if it's hard to quantify, right? If the officials are 95% accurate now, does making them full-time make them 98% accurate? It's impossible. They're never going to be 100% accurate. They are as full-time as they can be during the season, right? Football's different than basketball and baseball and hockey. You don't have multiple games each week. You know, baseball umpires aren't, when they're working the games they're assigned, but on their off days during the season, it's not like they're at practice with the Dodgers or the Angels and they're practicing their calls at first base or strike ball counts, things like that. So you have to find some things in the off season for officials to do. You know, I think there's an opportunity there, but just making them full-time or calling them full-time, I don't think that solves anything. They're still human beings that are officiating a game that is played by tremendous athletes, and you just have to continue to work to get them better, get them on the same page. I'm not saying there aren't opportunities for them to do more, especially in the off season, but I don't know if just calling them full time is going to make a big difference.
And I tell people, if you ever get the opportunity to be on the sidelines of an NFL game and look at a bang bang play, like, the speed is what, you know, jumps out at you. When we watch on TV, we're like, how could they miss that? Well, when you're on the field and you're going, was that pass interference? It certainly looked like pass interference. Or that couldn't have been passing. It's right in front of you, and I still couldn't make a call like that. The speed is what really stands out.
It's exactly right. And standing on the sideline, and there's that disconnect, because you stand on the sideline and you watch that bang-bang play, and you go, how do they ever get anything right? And then you and then you watch it, right? How do we get to evaluate? The official gets to see it once, full speed, from their perspective. And we get to evaluate them and critique them from five different slow motion angles. And, oh, here's the reverse angle, and here's the low end zone shot. And we go, how did they miss that? And there's that disconnect. And I get it, because we're not down on the field, we're not watching the game, but sometimes we're putting the officials in an impossible spot, because we're evaluating them to a standard that the human being can't reach.
Always great to talk to you. And, thanks for joining us. Thanks for dumbing down this information so I could understand it, Dean. Thank you.
You got it, Dan.
Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst, former NFL VP of officiating. He is working the Chiefs, Patriots, Bills, and the Cowboys game, where he gets to monitor that. And then they go, Dean, what did you see on that play? And then he gets to tell you what he saw. Dave in South Dakota. Dave, what's on your mind today?
Dan, thanks for taking the call. I was... Dean stole a bit of my thunder, but I've been thinking about what that official's life was like for the 10 seconds when that play was unfolding. He throws the flag at the line of scrimmage, and then he watched Kelce and Tony make this incredible play, and he's the only person on the planet who knows that that play is not going to stand. And if Reed and Mahomes would have expressed that, then that would have bought volumes of goodwill for years going forward. But the fact that they threw this official under the bus, like he wanted to stop that play from happening, I think it knocks them down, in my opinion, of them for a lot of years of goodwill.
Yeah, I'm going to give Mahomes a hall pass. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, it's a one time there. And I know people will say the following. Can you imagine if Tom Brady did that? The internet would explode. Seton brought it up yesterday that what would people do to Tom Brady if he acted that way? Now, Chiefs fans will say, oh, you mean acting like this? And then show you video clips. It's Mahomes had a meltdown. I think there's mitigating factors there. I don't think he has confidence in his offense, these receivers, maybe his offensive line. They struggled. They struggled the previous week. They don't look invincible. He's great, but I think he's starting to see the mortality of this team. That, all right, we're good, we're competitive, and you're facing the Buffalo Bills. So I think, you know, just the frustration level. And then all you have to do is once you see the tape, once you see, then that's it. Then it's done. And I don't think they ever allowed that to factor in, that it was that egregious. Instead of, oh, you can't call that. It was so bad, they had to call it. That's what, you know, Mahomes and Andy Reid have to understand. Well, they now understand that. They don't want to call it. You're going to make me call that. It's like when there's a holding call and it's a pivotal moment. Well, if it's that obvious, I got to call it. I don't think they go into each play going, can't wait to call something here. They don't want to slow down the game. They don't want to be the story. Yeah, Seton.
I love that Dean Blandino's like, the guy who'd make the call doesn't even get to make the announcement.
I know. Damn it, I don't even get to get on the microphone.
He doesn't even get to make the announcement.
Yeah. let me take a break. We'll get to more phone calls coming up back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More phone calls coming up. Tom Verducci in 2020 did one of the only long sit-down interviews for Sports Illustrated with Shohei Ohtani, and had a great summary of exactly what's gone on here in the recruitment, the courtship of Shohei Ohtani. But also there's some tentacles here that you're trying to figure out of how much is he going to get paid, deferring this money. Does baseball say anything about this? Can baseball say anything about this? So why not just have Tom Verducci on from MLB Network and Fox Sports and Sports Illustrated? Let me start with the contract here. How much is Shohei Ohtani getting paid this year, and how much money does that affect their salary cap?
He's getting paid less than Austin Barnes, the backup catcher for the Dodgers. Okay. He's getting paid $2 million a year. That's it. That's how much present-day value. That's how much the checks are going to add up to this year, 2024. And what he's done is he's taken that number, which is $70 million a year, right? 700 over 10 years, 70 a year. And he's reduced that number in present-day value as far as the luxury tax goes, because that's the number that really matters in baseball, to $46.6 million. And what does that do? It puts about $24 million back in the pockets of the Dodgers to spend. So they just signed this guy for $700 million, and they're going ahead and they're negotiating with Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the best free agent pitcher coming out of Japan this year, and that number is going to be close to $300 million. And they're also talking to Josh Hader. This is not possible unless Ohtani takes 97.1% of his money due him and says, just pay me later on, 10 years down the road, with no interest, by the way. Incredible the way he has allowed the Dodgers to have the most expensive player in any sport in history and still be affordable.
Has anybody ever done this?
Not to this level. The record for the highest percentage, I'm not sure about other sports, in baseball, 50%. And that was Max Scherzer signed a contract with the Nationals, $210 million. $105 million of that was deferred. And there might have been some interest attached to that, but 50%. No one else is really close. We've had guys 20%, Mookie Betts maybe 20-something percent. So there was nothing like this. And this all was Shohei's idea. He went to his agent, Nez Bolello, and said, listen, what if I defer all my money down the road? They don't have to pay me anything. And he, Nez, looked into the CBA. And first of all, there's no provision about some cap. You can't defer 97% of your money. The only provision is you have to take some money. You can't play for free. Minimum salary next year is $740,000. They settled for some reason on $2 million. But that was Shohei's idea. He wanted to go to a team and realize that I'm not hamstringing this team going forward. Like, yeah, you got me, but what do you got around me? There's plenty around him now with the Dodgers. There was, and there will be.
Take me back a week ago. Now, I guess everybody's allowed to talk about this, of what happened with Shohei Ohtani. Nobody's going to get penalized. How many teams, and really, who was the runner-up here?
It was down to just the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. That was it. It started out, as it did this first time he was a free agent when he was leaving Japan, did not want the East Coast, did not want the big cities of the East Coast, did not want weather. That's a big part of it. It had to be climate-controlled environment or Southern California, which is what he knows. There's two things Shohei does in life, basically. He plays baseball and he trains for baseball. He doesn't want to be dealing with elements. Blue Jays, of course, they have a dome, retractable dome. It reminded Shohei a lot of the Sapporo Dome, where he played with the Fighters in Japan. That made a lot of sense. He went and actually saw their training facility and was blown away by it. They just spent $100 million on a training facility in Florida. So he liked that. And he's always hit well there in Rogers Center. So they were a legit option. But here's the thing, Dan. The Dodgers have not played a meaningless game in the last 11 years. In the postseason, literally every year. He goes to Toronto. It's been the postseason five times out of the last 11. It's not bad, but it's not the Dodgers. And they don't have a very good farm system. He could be walking into another Angel situation with the Jays. So it was never going to be the Giants. It doesn't want to play in that ballpark. It's not a great place to hit. You have weather to deal with there. Same thing with Seattle. I know it's a retractable roof, but who knows how good they're going to be. Besides, they weren't even in it. They didn't have the money to do it. Ruled out the Yankees, Red Sox, Mets right away, the big spenders. And that's pretty much it. Dodgers and Jays. And I think since he was in high school, when the Dodgers thought they had him signed, this was inevitable.
how he got there was a shock.
But as far as the money, how does it get to 700? Like, where were the Blue Jays in this? Did they know what each other's offers were?
You don't really know what the particulars are of the offers, but you know the ballpark where it's going. I mean, we thought going in it was going to be a number between 5 and 6, right? And these things generally tend to get higher. And it reminds me when Alex Rodriguez signed with the Rangers way back when, he wanted money that was beyond Kevin Garnett at the time, the highest paid athlete. I didn't realize that Messi had a contract out there at 674, so it's no surprise it gets a little bit above that. But obviously, in real-term value, it's about 46 a year, which is just slightly above Max Scherzer money. Max Scherzer, 39-year-old pitcher, nice pitcher, but he's not a two-way player in his prime like Ohtani. So you knew what it would take to get Ohtani, but Ohtani was the one who presented both to Toronto and to the Dodgers. A ton of this money is going to be deferred because I don't want to hamstring the team. That was his idea. That was going to apply to any team that signed him.
Talking to Tom Verducci, MLB Network, Fox Sports analyst and contributor to Sports Illustrated. Were the Angels ever in this?
Not really. I mean, they were because they were the incumbent team, but I just think they knew where the number was going, and the fact that he hasn't played a playoff game or come within 10 games of the playoffs with the Angels, they just couldn't match going in what we knew the Dodgers could put on the table in terms of competitiveness. So, no, I don't think they were ever an option. I know people talked about the Braves and they talked about the Angels and the Cubs. Damn, those teams were never really options. You make phone calls because it's Shohei Ohtani. He's a once in a lifetime, if not more, player. So you make calls, you see where it's going. But actual suitors, 2. That's it.
And we talked about this before the trade deadline. What do you do if you're the Angels? Well, they decided they were going to bring in, you know, players. They were going for it. They were going to try to make the postseason. I wonder if they had made the postseason, would that have changed anything in this situation with Ohtani?
It would have helped. I'm not sure it would have changed it, but it would have helped. I'm not sure if the Angels were ever going to go to this kind of number. I mean, they've gone over the luxury tax threshold, the first threshold, once, and that was essentially a clerical error. They went over by like 75 cents. So, no, I think the run that he had there was unbelievable. I mean, they packed the place, and I get what Artie Moreno was doing. I thought he did the right thing by keeping Ohtani. I mean, it's like owning the Mona Lisa. George Steinbrenner used to say that about the Yankees. There's only one Ohtani. You have him there, and the people got to see him for 6 years. That's pretty cool. But I think, Dan, what people really have to look at here is there's no hidden agendas. We have become so cynical, right, that this is a case where Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers told me this, when they sat down with him, they were blown away by how refreshing he was. Like, he seems even younger than he is. I always tell people the golden age of baseball is when you were 10 years old. So it's always moving. But when you were 10 is when you fell in love with the game. You looked at the game with wonder in your eyes, first-time eyes. Ohtani has never lost that. He still looks at the game like he's 10 years old. He loves the game of baseball. And I think it's a mark of humility here. And listen, don't get me wrong. He's making $50 million off the field next year, Dan. We don't have to hold a telethon for him, right? He has endorsements more than anybody else in the game. So he's got that nice backstop. But don't try to read too much into this. We're so used to players going in there and asking for the moon. I want luxury suites. I want private planes back and forth to home. He's doing the complete opposite and saying, I'm going to defer all this money later on so we have a competitive team. Take that for what it's worth, because Shohei's not that complicated of a guy. What you see is what you get.
Baseball going to try to close this loophole?
No, because I think they realize this is a unicorn player with a unicorn contract. This does not apply to anybody else. I don't see anybody else saying take 97% of my money and defer it 10 years down the road without interest. I mean, this is completely legal, if you will. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. There's nothing against it. The Players Association has no problem with this. You just won't find players who are going to do this. So it's not really a loophole. It's not like the Dodgers are trying to pull an end around here. It is what it is. It's an incredible, humble gesture by this guy that, you know, we're always amazed at watching him on the field. And think about this, Dan. His value at $700 million comes from being a two-way player, and that's about it. I mean, you mentioned the story I wrote about him. Very little that we really actually know about Shohei, right? You don't hear him talk that much. He's certainly not in your face. He's not about branding or personality. it's really about his playing ability. To me, I find that refreshing, that his value is because he's an incredible two-way player and not about selling himself.
What's the downside for the Dodgers?
Boy, I'm not sure what the downside, I guess, is there might be, if he's going to pitch in 2025, he doesn't get back to that same level of being an ace, which is possible. I mean, this is two Tommy John surgeries in a short window. In the second one, your odds of coming back are not nearly as high as they are the first time around. But you know what? They've already talked about if he can't come back and pitch at a high level, or if at all, he probably can play the outfield. He's going to be able to throw. I think the question is, can he actually get out there and dominate on the mound? I wouldn't rule it out with this guy. But that's the only risk, that you're paying Ohtani to be a great two-way player, and maybe that pitching component is not going to be the same from 2025 on.
And I wonder what this does, Tom, down the road, 10, 15 years of players who now look at this, because your best player in high school probably was a pitcher and a shortstop, and can you get a team that's willing to allow you to do this? Does Ohtani open the door for this possibility?
I think you're right, Dan, that it does open the door. I don't see anybody coming through it. In other words, if you have a really spectacular two-way player, you bring him into your system and you don't try to specialize right away. And you play it out as long as you can. I just don't think that there's going to be another player who can do it at this level. And the only way you do it is if you can max out and be elite at both, because otherwise it's a compromise. You become, say, an average pitcher, an average hitter. So I don't see another player doing this in our lifetimes at this level.
He's Tom Verducci. You can check out his story on Shohei Ohtani joining the Dodgers on SI.com. Also, MLB Network's new Prime 9 Countdown series continues tonight with third baseman and shortstops. Thank you, Tom. Great stuff. We appreciate your time as always.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Tom Verducci. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to phone calls. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.